Want to have fun at work? Leverage your brand.
Careers Upstairs dedicates this podcast to professionals who want to advance their careers.
This is John Leggett for Careers Upstairs. Award-winning personal branding expert Paul Copcutt is with us today to explain why you need a personal brand. Or should I say, why you need to leverage the personal brand you already have. Paul is president of Square Peg Solution. He joins us from Toronto, Ontario. Paul, welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you, John. Glad to be here.
We're talking about personal branding today, and the concept of personal branding may be new to some people. And so I would like to ask if you could describe the difference between branding of products and services and personal branding.
Okay, sure. Really, there isn't a massive amount of difference, because the personal branding process is very much taking the process of branding products or services and applying it to people. So if you take, let's pick one of my favorite brands, and something that's close to you is Starbucks. When you choose Starbucks as your brand, you're obviously choosing it because you want to get beverage refreshment or whatever it happens to be, but that's not necessarily going to keep you emotionally tied to that brand. It will be other things, such as the way that you're treated by the barista, or it's the atmosphere of the store. People know me. We have a very big coffee store chain here in Canada called Tim Hortons, which has about 3,500 coffee stores across Canada. And people know me for driving past 5 Tim Hortons to get to a Starbucks. And I only actually drink black coffee. But it's the way that Starbucks makes me feel that makes me go back there. It's the emotional connection that I have to the brand. And that's a very similar thing to people. People want to hire you. People want to work with you and for you because of those emotional connections to who you are. But yes, they'll want to know that you can satisfy whatever the job requirements are. But beyond that, the reason they'll choose you over somebody else is the emotional connection. So the branding promise, or the approach of product or service branding, is basically taking that process and applying it to people. So in branding, you would say, you know, a brand is a unique promise of value. It's not a logo, it's not a name, it's not anything else. It's a unique promise of value. And if you apply that to personal branding is, you know, your unique promise of value is it's unique because it differentiates you from anybody else who are doing similar things to you or offering similar skills and strengths. It's a promise because you promise to deliver on whatever you say your brand is. In every interaction, every piece of work, every project you're asked to be involved in, you deliver on what you say you will deliver on and what your brand stands for. And it has value because it has value to the employer that has you hired, or the target audience, the people that you're trying to reach and influence and who make decisions about your career success. Branding has kind of developed from, you know, the very early days of people wanting to pick the best bakery store that they would go to. And it's now developed into obviously products and services and Coca-Cola's and Starbucks and Apple and people like that. Cities have branded themselves. And now obviously we see a lot of, you know, celebrity branding and the power of celebrity branding. So it's a natural progression that it would apply to individuals at a much, you know, lower level who aren't celebrities, but are, you know, equally have unique skills and strengths that they can offer to somebody who will pay for that value.
Mm-hmm. I see. Why would people want to have a brand? What would motivate somebody to go to the trouble of having a personal brand?
Yeah, great question. The answer is you already have one. You can't ignore it. You know, whether you do anything about it or not, other people have perceptions of who you are and your reputation. And they are drawing conclusions from that. As we've seen social media really come into the mainstream, that's even more the case, that people are drawing conclusions and summaries of who you are before they're even meeting you. So like it or not, you have a personal brand. The key is understanding what that brand is and then clearly communicating that brand to the right target audience, to the people that need to know about you. So you can't ignore the fact you've got a personal brand. You can't walk away from it. It's much better to be in control of that to a degree and control that message to a degree than it would be just to let people draw their own conclusions.
Okay, so if someone has a brand, whether they know it or like it or not, how do they know what their brand is?
Well, a couple of things would be very easily ask other people who know you. And particularly if you're in a career, you've almost undoubtedly had performance reviews at some point or another, taking a look at those performance reviews and see what people say about you and the feedback that you've got from colleagues and peers and people that work for you. So that would be certainly one. There are a number of additional kind of assessments. There's the 360 Reach, which is the personal branding assessment that we as personal brand strategists use, which is an online assessment that allows people to give you anonymous feedback as to their perceptions of your brand. That's a great tool. I use it a lot with clients. StrengthsFinder is another good one. You know, and other things like Myers-Briggs, Personality Dimensions. These are all great tools to get insights into that kind of little bit more unknown areas of who you are and what you bring to the table. I would say that, you know, a lot of the time we have a fair idea of what our brand is. We just probably haven't sat down and actually analyzed it to the degree that we should be doing so that we can start to formulate a view of what that brand is. And then more importantly, what are we going to do with it now we know what it is?
Then who would benefit from personal branding? Who is personal branding for?
I would say it's for everyone. There's really no reason why anybody would not want to use personal branding in a more proactive way. Because again, it goes back to everybody already has a personal brand. So therefore, it does apply to everyone. The key is, you know, doing something about it and taking a proactive approach to it. You know, certainly from a point of view of an immediate one would be people in sort of active job search, be that people who are unemployed and looking, or people that are in the process of, you know, with a current company but looking to make a move. With the way that the job market is and the ease of getting hold of resumes and people's details, companies are able to choose from, you know, in a lot of cases with a lot of vocations, very large groups of people. I was at an event just the other day and a panelist was talking about the fact that when he took this particular professional qualification, he was one of 8 people in the class that year. You know, that meant he was in a pretty big driving seat when it came to be looking for jobs needing that qualification. And the year's intake that was at that event, this year's intake was 120. And there's probably 50 jobs a year being posted that look for that qualification. So all of a sudden, instead of 8 people going for those 50 jobs, you suddenly got 120 people competing. And of course, as the employer is looking at your qualifications, you have exactly the same as the other 119. You know, you pretty much got the same experience and you've got the same qualifications. So how do you stand out and be different? And personal branding starts to allow you to do that by highlighting more of your softer skills, if you like, that differentiate you. So, you know, a good example would be somebody who's in finance. If somebody's in finance, you would typically expect any good finance person to be honest, hopefully, honest, accurate, and analytical, say. So that's great. That's what I call the table stakes. That gets you in the game. It gets you considered. It maybe gets you an interview. But it's not going to get you hired, because it's going to be the more what we term emotional attributes that differentiate you and what you can do, and some of that feedback that you get from different assessments, particularly the 360, you can get that feedback about emotional attributes and start to use that to differentiate yourself in the job market. So the fun accountant would suddenly start to stand out a little bit than, you know, the traditional just honest, analytical, accurate. But if you said you're a fun accountant, then then you can start to differentiate yourself, start to communicate a different brand that becomes attractive to some people. And as I say, it's going to be the emotional connections that people have to you and your brand that will make them want to hire you, work with you, and work for you. So job seekers for sure is a big one. And you can start to use those kind of personal brand differentiators, that language, in your various career marketing documents, such as your resume, your cover letters, your elevator speeches, how you introduce yourself at networking events. All those kind of things, you can start to make yourself stand out a little bit more than just being the standard norm. And then you've got employees inside organizations, and this is where I do a lot of my work now, is with employees inside Fortune 500 companies who are actually looking to stay where they are within that, or stay with that organization, but they want to take a more proactive approach to the management of their careers, and again, stand out for the right projects and the right opportunities. And they're using personal branding to do that. Good example, I had a particular client who was an accountant. And back to that, so those attributes I spoke about a second ago, you know, the classic sort of accurate, analytical, honest, you know, a good accountant. But his actual real passion and what he was really connected to was personal development. He was the type of person that you could ask, do you have a book on goal setting, or do you have a recommendation? He would have a resource, a book, a CD, a DVD, just about on any subject you could ask him. So what we did was we actually got him to bring his professional and personal development materials to work. And he actually set a bookcase up in the corner of his office, and he became the lending library at the company. And he built a reputation around not just being a great accountant but delivering great work, which is, that's what you have to do as a kind of base, but he became the go-to person for personal development. And ironically, when the company's training director left, the company didn't have anybody internally that they could promote from within the department. And the normal thing would have been the company to look outside, but they didn't. They actually went to this accountant and made him the training and development director. It also means that your personal branding gives you the opportunity to perhaps open up opportunities that otherwise people would never consider you for. And then probably an extension on from that is, once you're very clear and comfortable with your personal brand, if you're leading a team, sometimes very often that personal brand becomes your leadership brand and influences the team brand. And you can have some really great effect when, you know, that reputation for that team starts to build, particularly in larger organizations, again, where people want to move around and get involved in exciting new projects and work for great teams. If you can build a great team brand, you might start to attract better talent internally because of it. And then ultimately, you know, that impacts on the overall success of the business. And then personal branding for the self-employed, you know, particularly the smaller business. Very often the brand of the small business is the brand of the owner. And quite often I've done work with small company owners or professional service people like lawyers or accountants, that their brand is the brand of the firm, or their brand is the brand of the company. And so it makes a lot of sense, again, to be very aware of, you know, what your brand is and how people perceive it, so that you can be communicating the right messages to the right people to be successful.
In general terms, I'd like to ask you about how long it might take to develop a personal brand.
I'm still working on mine, so a lifetime might be a good answer. Generally, to go through the personal branding process, kind of start to finish, I would say 3 to 6 months. If you're in active job search and therefore your full-time job is finding another job, then you can certainly do accelerated work, and you can do a lot of the exercises and over a shorter period of time. Most of the time I'm in work that I do one-on-one with people, it would typically be people who are already employed, and therefore they're trying to fit it into the kind of nooks and crannies of the rest of their career and job and life. So 3 months is, I would say, in a lot of cases with clients, 3 months ends up being a little bit ambitious, and usually it extends out to sort of 4, 5, or 6 months to kind of get through the process and really have a good, clear plan as to how you're going to go forward and start communicating it. And then, you know, really on an ongoing basis, your brand is evolving. It's not drastically changing, but obviously as your career progresses, you're going to be attracted to different opportunities. Your skill set is going to change. You're going to develop new skills, new interests, new passions, and therefore your brand is going to be, need to be tweaked. So, you know, I normally recommend that clients would kind of do a brand revisit, you know, once every, certainly once every couple of years. Some people say a year you should be doing a kind of feedback, do something like the 360 once a year. Yeah, I would say sort of 18 months to 36 months is not an unreasonable time to circle back around, check the brand still on track, or do the tweaks and changes that you need to do. And then it's ongoing. Personal branding isn't just about your business or your career or your job. It's for life, because it is part of who you are. You don't separate, you don't have a different brand for home and a different brand for work. It's all one thing. It's going to be with you forever. So you should be investing in it on a regular basis.
You're suggesting then that personal branding is not just projecting a desired image. In other words, you're not creating an image that you think an employer or somebody wants to see or hear.
And far from it. I would say it's almost the opposite. Well, not quite the opposite, but you don't want to be projecting somebody you're not. Because if you do, and they hire you, you then have to turn up every day being that person you're not. And that's going to get very stressful very quickly. I have seen it. It does. You know, people just don't feel comfortable in the end. You know, they either let it slip, or they've compromised their own brand to land something, an opportunity, and then realize it's a bad choice. And you know, one of the early exercises that we get people to do in the personal branding process is really spending some time not just identifying what your values are, but defining what they are and what they mean to you. You know, very often you'll speak to people and find out, you know, why they left an organization or why they're not happy at a current organization. And a lot of the time it boils back down to values, because your values are being compromised by the way that the company operates or the way that your colleagues are working versus the way that you would want to work. You know, if you do spend the time really getting in touch with who you are and what makes you tick, so your values are your moral compass, then you can really find opportunities and like-minded people to work with that makes work that much more fun. At the end of the day, you know, you're going to spend, you know, the majority of your life at work. But much better to be doing things you love doing and connecting to who you truly are versus turning up for a paycheck. I mean, you know, Dan Pink's book, Drive, his latest book, is a great example and some great information around, you know, what makes people tick, what motivates people. You know, there's survey after survey tells us that, you know, money and benefits are important. I think the best description I've heard is a fair compensation is what people are looking for in most cases. But that isn't going to be what keeps them. You know, if you just give somebody a pay rise, I've been there myself. You know, you end up getting a great pay rise and everything else, but the reasons you were unhappy in the first place are still there. It's the other things, you know, what projects am I going to get involved in? Who are the teams I'm going to work with? You know, what are the new challenges I'm going to face? That's what people are asking. That's what people want. And to identify what those are, you need to be connect with what your brand is, because that core piece of foundation work around the brand, not just values, it's what we term appointing the VPs of your life. Values, passions, vision, purpose. Those four things, very critical to having a strong foundation for your brand. It's just like, you know, building a fantastic skyscraper. If you build a fantastic skyscraper, but the foundations are only 3 feet deep, it's going to crumble. It's going to fall over. And your personal brand is very much like that. So in the initial work with clients on personal branding, there's a fair bit of introspection. There's a fair bit of time doing stuff that you think, oh, come on, I just want to get on with getting my resume up to date, or my LinkedIn profile looking great, or my bio. Or those are all great things that you do have to do. But if you don't have that foundation, then you're going to start communicating the wrong message. You're going to end up getting hired for the wrong reasons. you're not going to be happy. You'll be back in that same situation in 6 months.
Sounds like Shakespeare really had it right.
Yes.
Unto thine own self be true.
Very true.
All right, then, what would you say are some common roadblocks that someone might have when they decide to set out on developing their own personal brand?
Okay, good question. Well, I think the first roadblock is what we were talking about at the very beginning. A lot of people don't appreciate that they already have a personal brand. One of the dangers, and it's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine around the whole personal branding thing, is people are making too much of a direct connection and correlation to social media and saying, you know, whatever your online brand is, that's your personal brand. And it's not. Social media is just another tool for us to communicate our brands. You know, what people find out about you online that's not the be all and end all. You have to do that foundation work. So appreciating that you have a personal brand in the first place, whether you like it or not. So much better to be aware of that and be willing to be proactive about it. I'd say the second thing is probably time. People don't dedicate enough time to working proactively on their career management, in which personal brand is obviously a key part of it. So I think people need to appreciate that this is a little bit of a time-consuming exercise, but it is something that's really worth doing, because you're going to be that much clearer and happier about the direction that your career is taking. And the other good thing is, once you're clear about that brand, you can make decisions much faster about the right opportunities for you, because you can look at the opportunity and compare it to what you have identified as being your brand and say, okay, is that in line with who I am? And it's a little bit like, you know, somebody coming to Disney and saying, hey, I've got a great idea for a, you know, product extension or a service extension for you as Disney as a company. You need to launch a porn channel. Well, you know, Disney's going to say, absolutely not. That's not in line with who our brand is, which is all about fun and family and entertainment. It doesn't sit with Disney's brand. So once you're clear on your personal brand, that somebody comes to you with an opportunity, you can very quickly say, yep, that's a good one. That's in line with who I am, the direction I want to go, or it's not. You know, sometimes I will say there's a slight caveat to that, is sometimes we do get the opportunity to get involved in a particular project or a particular opportunity that actually isn't on brand. It doesn't take us in the direction long term that we want to go, but it's an exciting project, or it's a particular project that's going to give you a whole new set of skills, or maybe even expose you to a group of people that you wouldn't normally get exposed to. And it's going to be a fun project. And you've got the capacity to take that on. You know, one of those things is, you know, and again goes back to the fact that personal brand is not just work. Maybe there's a volunteer opportunity for you to get involved with a cause you're particularly passionate about, or it, as I say, it gives you an exposure to a group of people that you wouldn't normally get involved with. And you have the capacity, you can take it on and you do it. But in the majority of cases, as opportunities come to you, if you're very clear about your brand, you can make very quick decisions. And that probably boils down to why people fall off the brand wagon, if you pardon the kind of pun, is they don't follow the three C's of branding: clarity, consistency, constancy. I always give an example. Donald Trump, you know, love him or hate him, and people are pretty black and white on that. You know, he's a very good example of a strong personal brand, because he's very clear about what he stands for and what he goes with. You know, it's all about big deals, luxury, his name on it, typically leveraged deals. He's building a Trump Tower here in Toronto, in Canada at the moment. And it's right on Bay Street, which is the financial district in Toronto. So it's right into the heart of his target market, the financiers, who typically are going to be leveraging and paying for this whole project. He hasn't put a penny into it yet. It's almost finished. It launches at the end of this month, and he hasn't put a penny into it, but his name's going to be splashed all over it. You know, that's classic kind of Trump. Very clear about what he stands for. He's consistent with it. You know, he doesn't waver. You know what his brand stands for. You know where he's coming from. With the exception, perhaps, of his very short kind of presidential aspirations, although, again, that's probably on brand for Trump. in terms of his personality, but you know, pretty much he's consistent with his message, and then he's constantly working at getting that message out there. Now, I always say to people, you don't have to be a Donald Trump to have a strong personal brand. A big roadblock is if you're not clear about your message, you're not consistent with it, and you're not constantly working at communicating that brand, then people aren't going to notice you. You need to be clear message, consistent with it, and what you say your brand is, you deliver on it, and you're constantly working at, you know, communicating it in some way to the people that need to know about it.
I would like to speak to a small percentage of people who might say that personal branding is a little bit too touchy-feely for them. What would you say to them?
Yeah, and most of the people that I do work with, or a large percentage, are finance and IT people. And that would be probably the first thing they say. Because people who are operationally very good at what they do struggle with the softer side of things, so that touchy-feely piece. But it is the reason why, even if you think you're the most introverted, analytical, accurate accountant in the world, the chances are there is some kind of emotional piece of your brand are the reasons why people are hiring you and want to work with you and for you. So much better that you're aware of it than continuing to sort of blindly go on with a career that may not be heading in the direction that you ideally want to be heading in, meaning that you're missing out on great opportunities that could be even more exciting than the work you're doing. The professional organization I mentioned that I was at the other day is a professional development. You know, these people are highly, highly motivated by crunching numbers. You know, I couldn't think of anything worse. But they're actually, once you get to know them, they're a fun bunch of people. Yeah, I say to people, you know, personal branding is an opportunity to bring more of who you are to work and have fun and get paid to do it.
It's the emotional connection to your brand and the unique promise of value. The promise is the emotional connection.
Right. Hard work, good work, that's what your reputation is built on. But, you know, in today's environment, there's a lot of people running around doing that. So the difference will be because you have a particular passion or a particular quirk even. You know, I had a client, IT client, really highly intelligent, brilliant IT person. But in his feedback, and one of the emotional attributes that came out about him was quirky. But he lived it. He actually lived that as part of his brand. He used to go to meetings, and the one thing he would not do would be to take technology into a meeting, which is almost unheard of for an IT person. You know, typically you would expect everybody to turn up, you know, with iPads, PDAs, laptops, whatever. And he used to turn up with a Moleskin notebook and a Mont Blanc fountain pen. And he was the leader of, you know, the particular group where they would have regular meetings. And he used it for two reasons. One was because it was part of his quirky brand. People used to say, you know, what's with the notebook or what's with the fountain pen? And other people would say, oh, you know, that's Steve. He's quirky. But the other thing it did, because he was in IT and things moved so fast in IT all the time, he never had time to slow down and think. And meetings were that opportunity to do that. So he purposely used the fountain pen and the notebook to actually slow meetings down. So people would be, you know, tapping away and everything else. And he'd be saying, oh, sorry, could you repeat that? Because I didn't quite catch it. I need to just make a note of that. And he'd slowly write it with his fountain pen. But what it was giving to him was time to think and time for other people to sort of slow down a little bit and think as well. Very effective, the classic part of his brand. So, you know, those softer skills, you can have some fun with it and still be a very effective whatever you happen to be, even though you don't like that sort of touchy-feely side of things.
All right, then, could you please give us your key takeaway on the topic of personal branding?
Okay. Always like things in threes, so I'll maybe give you three takeaways. You know, first of all, you know, the reason why you should, you know, I mentioned Dan Pink earlier, and
his earlier book, A Whole New Mind, he says in that book, you know, the basic three-sentence summary is, if your job can be done faster by a machine or software, or cheaper somewhere else in the world, then you need to differentiate yourself right now. Otherwise, that job is not going to exist. You know, sadly, we're seeing examples of that in the current climate. So you have to differentiate. Personal branding gives you that opportunity to stand out and be different, but still be who you are. It's really up to you to own the definition of who you are. So that'd be my second takeaway, is you can't rely on anyone else anymore to tell you where your next opportunity is. Even in large organizations, the expectation is that you proactively manage your career. So personal branding allows you to do that. You can't rely on HR anymore to come to you and say, oh, here's this next great opportunity. You need to build that yourself. So you must own the definition of who you are. You know, the great thing with personal branding is it really is permission to be yourself. You don't have to be somebody you're not. I'm not asking anybody. I never ask anybody to do something they don't feel comfortable doing. I might push them a little bit and challenge them, because quite often I believe they have more potential than they really do. And I think personal branding helps people identify that and get the benefit of that, because I would say the most underplayed part of personal branding is around the strengths piece. The things that you do naturally and so well and so brilliantly, you don't actually leverage as a true strength, because you do it almost subconsciously. And very often I'll sit down with people, we look at feedback from other, you know, from their peers, from their colleagues, and they'll say, you know, Joe's greatest strength is this. And you sit down with Joe and Joe says, really? I do that all the time. Exactly. You do it all the time because you're so good at it and you're not leveraging it enough. So permission to be yourself and bring a little bit more of who you are to work and have some fun doing it.
Well, this is marvelous, Paul. Thank you very much for bringing your insight to us and perspectives on personal branding.
You're welcome. It's a lot of fun. I just say to everybody, go out and start branding yourself.
You can reach Paul and his website at squarepegsolution.com. And if you have a suggestion for a future episode, please send us an email at experts@careersupstairs.com. This is John Leggett for Careers Upstairs. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by Careers Upstairs, the leading employment consultancy in aviation. For more information about how you can advance your career in aviation, visit our website at careersupstairs.com. Careers Upstairs. Going up?